loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back into
It's okay. We can. I'll just send it to Kurt and he can clip it or whatever.
Okay. Welcome back to a very special edition of Pick and Pod, WFUV's NBA podcast. We're recording on July 3rd. Tomorrow's July 4th. So happy 4th of July, everyone. Hope you have some fun weekend plans coming up. But let's get into it because a lot has happened since we've last recorded this podcast. We have to start with the biggest news, the most exciting for me personally as well. The New York Knicks are your 2026 NBA champions. Personally, I'm very excited about this. I had the chance to be at a bunch of the games leading up to this finals, even being at game four of the finals. It was the most incredible experience that I've ever had. I don't think I'll ever be in a place as big or loud as that. The Knicks beat the San Antonio Spurs in five games to become this year's reigning champs, best basketball team in the world. I know you guys are not necessarily New York Knicks fans, but so this will be interesting. Give me your takes on, are you guys happy about this? Are you like indifferent? Because, you know, I'm a little bit of a homer myself and having the chance to be at so many games. I even have my new shirt on already. Like I'm in it. But Max, you were just saying, we'll get into your situation a little bit later in this podcast. There's a lot going on in free agency right now, but New York Knicks win. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think they played really well, first of all, and they deserve it, at least from a fandom perspective for me. I enjoyed seeing the Knicks win just because I feel like the last 10 NBA finals that I've watched, I've had a really strong rooting interest in, because either LeBron's been there or it's been the Celtics and I don't want them to win, or the Warriors and I don't want them to win. But I didn't really have any, you know, bias against either the Knicks or the Spurs. So it was kind of nice watching it just from a, I want to see really good basketball perspective. And I think that's what we saw. Obviously, I think the 29 point comeback is going to stick out in people's minds. And that's the game you were at. But I think really, every game, the Knicks came back from double digits. So, you know, it was an interesting finals. I think it was one of the better ones we've had in the last half decade or so. And, you know, good series. And it felt like a very quick turnaround. It was like 2 weeks ago they won and we're already on a next year like that.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, I kind of feel the same way, even as a New Yorker. Like, I want the Knicks to win, but I also want to have mine the Spurs won, because I just love Wembanyama and everything that's going on over there. I think it's a real. I think they'd have been a very good team as well to be, a representation of the face of the league. But yeah, I'm very happy that the Knicks won. I mean, it's nice to see New York finally win a championship. I mean, it's my first one I've seen since I think the Giants. So, like, yeah, no, it was awesome to see the parade going on and watch it with all my friends back at home who are Knicks fans, and seeing them all happy and stuff was fun. So, yeah, no, it was great. I'm definitely very happy they won, and I'm kind of curious to see if they're going to do it again next season.
Yeah, no, it will be. And to your point, New York, seeing all of New York kind of come together, it was just like blue and orange for the past. Even still, if you go in, it's still everywhere now with the street signs. Really cool to see the city still celebrating massive success. That being said, you mentioned next year, looking into next year, the Knicks are already in a interesting place coming off a championship. You lose Mitchell Robinson getting traded to the Boston Celtics. This was an good for Mitchell Robinson for getting the money that he deserves. It does kind of stink in general to see a player as good as he is raised in this organization leave, especially to the Celtics. I was out of all the teams, this going to the Celtics, which is like knife to the heart. Like, what are we doing? And he was so important down the stretch for this Knicks team too, under the rim, even though he, wasn't a starter necessarily. His minutes off the bench ended up being some of the most important to the Knicks win. So from the Knicks' perspective, it's interesting to see kind of where they go from here. Even to the Celtics, I've seen mock startup or starting lineups that have him as their primary center. And that doesn't make sense to me necessarily because we've seen that try to happen in the past. And one of the things that made Mitch be so good this year is like managing how many minutes he had. So like from the Celtics perspective, it's and then obviously with this Jaylen Brown trade on top of that, Jaylen Brown going to Philadelphia for Paul George returning to the Celtics. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on, where New York goes from Mitchell Robinson from here. They also lost Ariel Hakpourty, so they're really in need of a center. But also the Celtics, like, does this make sense, you guys? Do you see their vision? Let me start with you this time.
I mean, yeah, I think, I honestly, after just winning a championship, I don't think the situation for the Knicks is as bad as it could be. Because I feel like a lot of times the championship teams kind of fall apart after, but only losing Mitch Robinson isn't that bad, even though he is a very important piece of the team. It doesn't make sense for the Celtics to make him a starter whatsoever. That's this whole thing is that he's really good in the minutes that he plays, but you have to keep his minutes small or else he's going to get injured like he always does. And now that the Celtics don't really have much of any center depth really to go back up with him, I don't really think that situation's gonna be that great for him as great as a player as he is. Now with the Knicks, I think he's a replaceable center. I don't know if you're gonna find many people who are better at offensive rebounding than him, but I mean, I think that's just kind of a hard ask. The only thing is that I feel like free agency's now been in for a few days, and like I think a lot of centers are already off the board. So you're kind of gonna have to hope that someone just kind of falls out of favor with one of their other teams. Like I saw something, I think maybe the Pelicans, because I think what Yves Messi has been he's been in contract. I've heard his name in and out conversations now forever, and he's a pretty good center. He's kind of small, but I think that might be the next person they want to go chase after. But they need to make some action soon because they can't not have a starting secondary center, so that needs to be like figured out.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people who watched the Knicks closely this season know how important Mitchell Robinson was to the team. Like that's a big time loss. And in terms of both of the fact that now the Knicks are left with not a lot of depth at the starting center position, but also because, you could put Mitchell Robinson at the five and put Cat at the four, right? You could make all these sort of different things. And because he was so good, he allowed everybody on that team to be better and get the forwards more rest, the starting centers more rest. So that's a significant loss right there. I'm not familiar with the Knicks cap situation. Honestly, ever since the NBA started this whole apron thing, I've kind of not followed it at all, really, and just said whatever happens, happens. But I do think they're deep enough in other positions. Brunson and Hart, Ananobi, Bridges at the wings, that if they don't end up getting a center that is of a quality for a team that is trying to win back-to-back championships to begin the year, it's not the end of the world. They can go with a guy, and there are always guys that you can sign who can provide depth at a two-way level, a minimum contract at the beginning of the season, and you kind of feel where you are the first 40 games. And if you think this is the team, and if the Knicks still have a championship level roster in February, then you try to address it at the trade deadline because, we know how hard it is to win one championship in sports. It's just that much harder to win back-to-back championships. And at least for the Knicks, right now they're the top dog in the NBA. So everybody's going to be giving them their best every night. Obviously there's one big free agent out there who is maybe considering the Knicks and LeBron James. We'll see what happens on that front. Obviously he won't be the starting center, but I do think the Mitchell Robinson departure is a big loss. And from a Celtics perspective, I think the Jaylen Brown trade, the return they got was not good, putting it lightly. A Paul George for Jaylen Brown, who does not, I think he's a top 10 player in the NBA right now, really. In terms of what he provides from an offensive and defensive level. And to get Paul George, who does not have a great track record with staying healthy recently, does not have a great track record, although he did better this last year with performing in the postseason, split up Jason and Jaylen, I think, there are dynamics at play, relationships in basketball that cannot be repaired sometimes. And that's what the Celtics did. But I think, from a basketball standpoint, even with the addition of Mitchell Robinson, they got much worse this summer.
That's exactly how I feel as well when thinking about the Celtics team, because earlier in the day they announced the Mitch trade, right? And Knicks fans were bummed out, to say the absolute least. Then the news of this Jaylen Brown trade happens, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, and that's when the questions really started to pile in, where Mitchell Robinson, obviously prone to injury. Paul George, also prone to injury. It just seemed a little bit confusing. Maybe down the line, they have other guys who they're also trying to bring in, get rid of. But yeah, it feels like in every kind of free agency, there's one big move that everyone is kind of like, is that the right thing to be doing? So maybe that's this year. So maybe there's more to come. But Max, you referenced there's another really big free agent on the market right now that could mean a lot for him and potentially his son. I don't know what you guys think about some of those rumors, if he's trying to secure Bronny's future at all, if they're going to play together even this year. I did see it would make no sense for the Knicks to go after him. And quite frankly, I don't think they have the money or the space on the roster for someone like him. So seeing him in New York would be cool, obviously, but I don't think it's a legitimate possibility. That being said, looking for next year, where is the most likely place that you see LeBron James? Max, who do you think your next team is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a LeBron fan club guy for life. There's no shame about it either. I'll probably go back to being a Lakers fan after he retires, just because I'm a Dodgers and a Rams fan, so it just makes sense to complete the trifecta. But I mean, I think the two that stand out right now probably are Golden State and Cleveland, right? Cleveland would just be the ending to the chapter. You have the start in Cleveland, then you have the villain era in Miami, the redemption in Cleveland, the business era in LA, and then you finish it off with the, storybook ending, Cleveland winning one last ring if he can. And then there's Golden State, which I, from a basketball level, would love to see. LeBron and Steph Curry always gush about it when they play in the All-Star team. That would be really fun to see. There was something on Twitter I saw this morning that I think is real, that LeBron made a whiteboard session, brainstorming his next team. And there was something there that said that if the Knicks hadn't won the championship, he would be going to New York 100%. So, but now that they have won, he doesn't want to ruin his legacy like that, which I get. I think it's funny that he waited to tell the Lakers he was leaving until the day after Bronny's $2.5 million contract was guaranteed. So, he's looking out for his son, which I can respect that. I think it's really anybody's guess where he'll go, to be honest. I mean, not many people thought he was going to go to the Lakers back in 2018 or whatever when he left Cleveland for the second time. But I think it's fascinating. It's another chapter in the LeBron James story. I still think he's got a ton left in the tank, as we saw this last year. He basically won that playoff series against Houston with whoever, Luke Kennard, as the second best player. So that was that showed that LeBron James can still be, if not the best player on a championship team, probably the second best player. I think Philly's also an interesting fit, but I've got no idea.
I'm happy to hear about the Knicks, because I was kind of concerned he was maybe thinking about going there, because I thought that'd be like the ultimate like legacy ruining move by just becoming KD your last season. But I want to see him go to the Cavs or the Heat, honestly. I don't really care for the Warriors. I think that team's just too much of a mess right now. Oh, I think he'd be stupid to go there because I don't really think they have a team that win a championship. But I think him joining the Cavs would really elevate them to. I mean, if he joins the Cavs, I think the East is going to go from like looking pathetic to like, they're like fantastic this year. I mean, so far I feel like every single free agency move has been happening in the East, every single big one. So like, if he joins, it's just another team that's going to become great in the East. And then, I mean. Personally, after the Giannis trade, that doesn't really move. That really doesn't move me with the Heat. I still don't think the Heat are going to be that great of a team. But I think if you add LeBron James to it, it looks a lot more plausible. Like suddenly when you look at it, and I mean, yeah, Sixers too are definitely a possibility. I think that's kind of cheap. Like you're going to join after to get Jaylen Brown. I mean, that team's also now incredible as well. So, I mean, I think really my three options I think would be the Heat. Would be the Heat, the Warriors, and I guess the Sixers would be the other possibility, but like who knows? I mean, I think he would be fine signing the minimum. I mean, who knows if that's true? But like, so really, he's not a lot of money right now. So I mean, these teams are obviously like ringing on his doorbell every day trying to get to him. So we'll see what happens with him. I'm very curious to see what his decision will be, though.
Very curious, and I'm also interested in how long he's going to take to make this decision because he does have a little bit of time here, and he's also LeBron James. Like, he can kind of do whatever he wants to an extent, or keep people waiting a little bit. I do think, seeing some of these reports that he's really thinking about his own, like, he wants to be happy in the next city that he's in. So, I think a return to Cleveland is definitely not out of the question. I don't know how I feel about Philly. It could be interesting to see that, but LeBron in Philly just doesn't really feel right. Whereas LeBron in Cleveland or Miami feels a little bit more like closing a chapter on his career, to an extent. But yeah, another big thing that we'll be looking out for in the next couple weeks, next couple months. But one of the last trades that we haven't gotten into, the Clippers and the Raptors made a trade, and this was one I know we mentioned a little bit earlier in our group chat. Kawhi Leonard is now a Toronto Raptor. Did we see that coming?
I'll be the one to talk about this as a Raptors fan. I mean, I was ecstatic when I saw this, even though he's a 35-year-old guy who, is aging and we traded up a good amount of assets for him. He's still a all NBA player, all defensive team, and finished 7th in MVP voting this year, and this is the best scoring season of his career. I mean, I've always said this now that I've always thought the Raptors would be a fantastic team if they had their superstar. I thought every single thing they've been building up so far has been geared to landing a superstar because I think every single other piece is in place to win a championship. And with Kawhi Leonard, I think this is how we get to that level. I don't know if we're better than like the Thunder or the Knicks or something, but I think we are really good right now. Scottie Barnes is basically going to be the Pascal Siakam for Kawhi Leonard. And there's a lot of other really similar players to that 2019 championship squad on a team right now. So I think we're looking in really good shape right now. We had to give up like Brandon Ingram, who I never really cared for, and then also Grady Dick, who was awful and doesn't fit our team. I think he'll actually be pretty good over at the Clippers, but he was did not fit us whatsoever. And then two first round picks, and like that's not bad. So I'm definitely very happy to have Kawhi back. I think it's gonna be a lot. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'll actually be tuning into a lot of Raptors games now because the past few seasons have been kind of brutal with the Raptors. So I'm excited to really be watching a real proper basketball team again. And yeah, I mean, just gonna be crazy. We're gonna be one of the best teams in the East now. So I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that it feels like maybe the last 4 years or whatever, the Raptors have had like three, like 20 point per game scorers who just seem to shoot mid ranges, and they haven't had that guy. And although Kawhi loves mid-ranges too, I don't know what it is. Raptors just love people who could shoot mid-range jumpers. But he is the guy. I still think he could be a leading championship team. Again, I don't know if the Raptors are that team, but Kawhi's not getting any younger. So if they get to the trade deadline and I think they've got a shot, they're going to push all the chips to the table. If I had to guess, up in Toronto, I think for the Clippers, they got a really good package for Kawhi, especially because he still has, even if people have tried to sweep it under the rug, this whole looming tree aspiration money scandal thing floating around his head. I wonder when that will be resolved, or if it most likely will never be resolved. I think it's kind of damning now that he has left the Clippers to see. Remember back in that whatever it was 2019 offseason when they signed Kawhi and traded for Paul George in a matter of 2 minutes, and then James Harden obviously was there, Russell Westbrook. They had a ton of superstars come through LA, and I don't think they ever won more than two games in the Western Conference Finals. They were up 3-1 on the Nuggets and blew like double digit leads every single game in the bubble series in 2020. So this era, I think, just an abject failure for the Clippers, and it kind of ends with the trading of Kawhi Leonard, and now, you know, they don't really have that much guys. They're kind of starting a new era there in Los Angeles, for lack of a better words, with Zubac gone and Harden gone. Paul George obviously left last offseason. Now Kawhi is gone. So for both teams and for the Raptors, you know, I think they're good enough. Right. And we talked about this earlier. The East is looking a lot better now. Obviously, you have the Knicks. The Sixers, I mean, I think right now, if you put the Sixers up with the Knicks in a 7-game series, I think the Sixers are right there with them. The Celtics got a little bit worse, but the Raptors, I think, are maybe that fourth or fifth team right now. Obviously, LeBron's decision contingent, and then the Heat, you know, have Giannis. So I think, you know, it felt like the West has been better than the East for like the last like 15 years, basically. Like, I can't remember the last time the East was better. It's probably when LeBron was in Miami, honestly, the last time that the East was like up there with the West. Even especially when they have those Warriors teams, the West just way better than the East. But maybe the East finally giving them a run for their money this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, with a lot of these blockbuster trades happening in the East too, there's a lot of shakeup that will be interesting to keep an eye on and how these teams develop their rosters. Because even this past year, the East was really competitive. Teams like the Raptors and the Cavs obviously gave the Knicks a problem all throughout the regular season, that they kind of were able to figure out those issues in the postseason. A lot of that with fourth quarter comebacks, that was kind of the theme of this Knicks team this year. And so it's very fitting championship run for them. But Pig and Pod surely will be back in the next couple of weeks with more of these trades and moves. But you know, unless you guys have any last words to say on this podcast, I think we'll be pretty much wrapped up for today. But with that, this has been Pick and Pod for myself, Gabby Price, Max Langer, and Trey Rodriguez. This has been a WFUV Sports production.